started the electoral process, you started the public service commission, introduce yourselves in the department, the Auditor General's office, and then members of parliament.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Norman Maharaj. I'm a commissioner in the Public Service Commission.
There's Odis Ramsing, the Director General of the Office of the Public Service Commission.
Caroline Mampuru, Chief Director of Public Administration Investigation. Cindy Vavilla, Public Service Commission, Chief Director of Public Administration Investigation.
I'm Ms. Togwaza, as an Elementary Officer of the Public Service Commission.
My name is Richard Levine. I'm the Director General of the Department of Public Service and Administration. Thank you. Hank Saffontaine, Department of Public Service and Esmond, dealing with monitoring relations within the governance branch.
Kenny Carpenter, Department of Public Service and Administration.
David Ivolsena, I'm the Acting CFO for the BSI.
My name is Seth Kumara from GPSA. Thanks.
I'm Shamila Aydan, Parliamentary Officer for GPSA.
I'm Musa Shongwa, Nominator from the Auditor General.
Barry Wheeler, Office of the Auditor General.
I can have members introducing themselves. Let's start with you, Commissioner.
Lorraine
Upon member of Cooper.
Ronald Bufugil of Cooper.
Pierre John Cabot, Cooper.
Mario Swart, JBC.
The Joint Budget Committee.
I believe
Public Service. Not be part of the issue. It will help to consolidate the us and them. Okay. Let's come to Magoti. My chair of committee. Right. We will hand over to the Public Service Commission. I'm not sure whether. The documentation is this from you? Just to get the heading.
We've got a presentation and we've got a report. We will hand out copies of the presentation now. Chairperson, thank you very much for the invitation to.
Now, what we're going to have now is copies of the presentation. What about the report?
Well, sir, anyhow, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to do this audit on your behalf and also for facilitating the presence of important stakeholders in this matter. I didn't know that the Public Service Commission stood accused. And we're a bit nervous on this, so we're going to need
to choose by association.
But, you know, guilt by association, I think that's a bit of a difficult one for us to accept. Chairperson, I would like to apologize firstly for the part we may have played in the confusion this morning. Thankfully, everything has been resolved. I also want to apologize for the absence of Professor Sangweni, who is the chairperson of the Public Service Commission, who is really at this particular point in time not able to travel because of ill health. He sends his good wishes. I'm going to hand over to the DG now.
Thank you, Chairperson, honourable members. As you know, this is a request from SCOPA for the Public Service Commission to give them an indication around the vacancy rate, both in national and provincial levels. What I will do is go to a quick introduction, take you through how we did the methodology, talk to the total number of funded vacancies in the public service, look at the vacancy rate as of the 31st of August 2007, see where especially these vacancy rates are in terms of the salary levels within the public service, and look at what type of progress has been made to accelerate the filling of the posts, look at the average turnaround time for the filling of these posts, the factors impacting on the filling of posts, and also then look at strategies to deal with filling these posts, including certain recommendations. In introduction, I think the issue of the capacity of the public service to improve and accelerate the rate at which it is delivering services to the country's citizens, as we know, has come into the spotlight recently. And the rate of vacancy in departments is perhaps one of the biggest challenges central to the problems of service delivery. A commonly held view holds that the higher the number of vacancies in a department, the bigger the department's challenge to deliver on the service delivery mandate. In other words, the department will not be as successful in delivering in terms of its core mandate if it has not successfully or effectively filled all its vacant posts. The Standing Committee on Public Accounts, yourself, requested that we brief you on the vacancy rate, and we do this here in terms of our constitutional mandate, which allows us to investigate into personnel practices within the public service. The methodology that we employed in trying to assess the vacancy rate, we developed a template for data gathering on vacancies. We issued this template to all heads of departments who were requested to provide information regarding the funded vacancies on the establishment as of the 31st of August 2007. We also asked the same information from the Personnel and Salary Administration System, that's PERSAL, to provide us information according to the template that we had developed. We also made a request to the Department of Public Service and Administration for the provision of relevant information, given that the DPSA was looking into trends around human resource practices. The information obtained both from PERSAL and from the national departments were then collated and analyzed. There were certain limitations, obviously, to this project. The first thing that a limited time was given by SCOPA for us to come up with this research, and as a result, departments were put under huge pressure in order to provide the information, and this did impact on the quality of the information we had. Six departments did not provide input by the cutoff date of 21st December, and there was, I think, which will be the current theme throughout my presentation, the large variance between the information that you have in the PERSAL system and the information that you actually got from departments. We are, however, of the belief that despite these limitations, we have managed to produce a report that has, at the very least, allow for solid engagement on vacancy rates within the public service. The total number of funded vacancies. According to PERSAL, as of the 31st of August, you had funded posts of 1,433,401 funded posts, and the information of PERSAL was then compared with the information that we got from departments. And in terms of the funded vacancies, PERSAL was saying that there are 330,987 funded vacancies in the public service. We have information from departments. If you take into account the six departments that did not provide the information, the departments were saying, well, we really only got vacancies of 88,323 funded vacancies. As you can see, the variance between these two figures is something like 73.3%. And the such discrepancies do then show a lack of reliable information to serve as a basis for effective decision-making, for effective budgeting, and of course for effective human resource planning within the public service. If you look at the vacancy rate then, And if you look at the graph that I've just reflected, the red would show what Purcell is saying. And Purcell would say a department, for example, like please say, their vacancy rate is at 30.7%. Whereas if you look at what departments are saying, the highest vacancy rate is really at the Mpumalanga province, which reflects a vacancy rate of 9%. So this is just an indication of the variances between the two data sources if you look at it in a more detailed fashion. And due to the variance in information by Purcell and that by department, the Public Service Commission must then say it is very difficult to determine what is the rate of vacancy in the public service as research, despite the research that we have undertaken. The vacancy rate in the public service, according to Purcell, is at 23.1%. In terms of the department, which will be the next one, you're looking at 5.8%. So if we go back to what Purcell is saying, Purcell is really saying if you look at national departments, that's where you have your lowest vacancy rate, which is at 15.6%. So national departments seem to be in a better position around vacancies than their provincial counterparts. And as I said earlier, you're looking at a department like the Free State province, which is sitting with a vacancy of 30.7%. If you equate that kind of high vacancy with service delivery equation, then you've got to be seriously concerned as to what is really happening on the ground. If you then go to the departmental information, departments are saying, look, our vacancy rate is really only at 5.8%.
Can I check? Are we still getting copies of your presentation?
I understand that it has been sent out. Sorry.
Except this side.
Sorry, Chair, I think you're the only one there.
You're skimming ahead. Welcome, Honorable Trent and Honorable Becker. My apologies.
I'm sorry, I really wish to apologize to being late, but I was here long before 9 o'clock.
Okay.
I was at the meeting at the end of the night for half an hour.
All right. No, that's fine.
And I think on my head it was coming late.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. So if you look at the information in terms of the departmental information, which is at 5.8% your average, provinces like the Western Cape, Gauteng, Limpopo, Eastern Cape, and Free State are below the overall vacancy rate, whereas you get a province like in Mpumalanga whose vacancy rate is at 9%, which is above the 5.8% vacancy rate. And again, due to the variance then on a percentage basis, you're talking of a variance of 17.5% between the two sources of data. So what we've done as a Public Service Commission effectively, in terms of trying to determine what is the vacancy rate, we looked at two sources of data. So we've looked at the vacancy rate from the Purcell information, and we looked at the vacancy rate in terms of what the departments were saying. And that's why we say we can't really come out with a definitive view as to what that vacancy rate is, but using the two sets of database, we can give you an indication of what is coming through around the vacancy rate. We then said that in order to establish whether the public service will be able to fund the number of vacancies identified, we then got information on personnel expenditure as of the 31st August 2007. And what this information was saying to us that the total budget for compensation of employees is at 174.2 billion across the public service. And of this amount, an amount of 68.8 billion was spent on the compensation of employees as at the 31st of August 2007. So the actual expenditure then up to the 31st of August 2007 is at 39.8%. This would then say if your spending norm is 41.67%, you have an underspending of only 1.87%. So in effect, with the 1.87%, you are supposed to fill your funded vacancy. And if you take that as the expenditure then for compensation that is left on average, you have a situation, if you look, for example, at the Department of Economic Development and Planning in Mpumalanga, which has 105 vacancies according to the department. They've already spent 50.3% on their budget, representing an overexpenditure of 8.83%. You then can ask yourself, where then are they going to get the funding to fund these vacancies of 105 if they say that the vacancies are only 105 that are there. If you go to the Office of the Premier in the Northern Cape, they have 199 funded vacancies. They've already spent 46% as of the 31st of August, and therefore represent an open expenditure of 4.3%. Likewise, it's the Accounting Department of Public Transport, Roads and Works, who shows a vacancy of 676 vacancies. They've already spent 44.1% of their compensation budget, and this represents an over expenditure of 2.4%. So even if the information from the departments are correct in relation to their funded vacancies, in terms of the budgetary implications, there's really no funding to actually fund these vacancies. That's the reality in relation to the kind of information we received. So based on the above, it is apparent that a large number of the vacant posts are identified through the two sources of data. So whether you're looking at Purcell and you say Purcell is the correct vacancy rate, or whether you're looking at the department and you say the departments are reflecting the correct vacancy rate, in actual fact, you're not sure the funding is not there for these posts. The spending on the compensation of employees therefore suggests that the vacancy rate should be much lower than those determined by Purcell, which is 23.1%, or even the information that departments are indicating in terms of 5.8%, if you were to just have regard for the amount of money that was available to fund these particular posts. If you then look at the salary levels of these vacant funded vacant posts, where are they in particular? Once again, I'm only looking at the information that was given from departments. And the highest number of their vacancies are at salary level 6 to 8. You're looking at 33,857 vacancies at this level. And the lowest number of vacancies is at salary level 13 to 16, which is 1,749 vacancies. But if you look in terms of your percentages, your vacancy rate from level 13 to 16 reflects 14%, and your middle management level 9 to 12 reflects 10%. And one can appreciate the implications of such a high vacancy, given that these are really your strategists who should translate and implement policy in their department. Your lowest vacancy rate is at salary level 6 to 8 at 5%, However, you've got to look at this here against the fact that largely these employees, you usually find them at your front offices, imagine going to home affairs, etc. The longer the queue you have would be a suggestion that perhaps the vacancies are not filled and there's not enough people in the front desk to actually service you. And as a result, vacancies at this level, where it may only be reflecting something like 5%, the impact on the public is so much greater, because the ability to find speedy and quality service is compromised by the fact that not all the posts are filled, and therefore you don't have a full complement of staff serving your citizens. We then looked at these vacancy rates and said, well, if the public service is going to try and fill these as easily as possible, where really then are these vacancy rates if you look at the recruitment process? And as you can see from the diagram, that job evaluation, which will be reflected in your maroon, it will show where that is. In most cases, there's 25% haven't been job evaluated. If you go to post already advertised, in terms of your green, you see most of it is basically under 50% of the post already in the advertisement process. And then you would look at the selection process that has come in, and of course your final process would be the recommendation that is made to the EA, and that would be you are almost about to appoint the person, give or take agreements around starting dates. And if you look then at that job evaluation process, in terms of the Public Service Commission, Public Services Regulatory Framework, all posts at the level of 9 to 16 must be job evaluated. That's a mandatory requirement. And if you look at the information that departments have given, Department have yet to job evaluate 25% of the vacant, funded vacant posts at salary level 9 to 12 and 27% of the funded vacant posts on salary level 13 to 16. I think one of the worrying aspects of this research was that in some instances, departments have advertised posts but have not evaluated these posts. The sum total of this then is in a sense that any appointment made to this post without it being job evaluated could render the relevant act irregular. And more so, if the post has already been advertised and then is job evaluated after the advertisement, the outcome of the job evaluation could then easily be manipulated in order to get to that job evaluation or to get to a lower job evaluation. But the point there is that if it doesn't come out at the job evaluation for which it was advertised, you would then have a situation of fruitless and wasteful expenditure because you would have to re-advertise at the correct job evaluation. So that's the implication of not ensuring that you've got job evaluation processes in terms of your recruitment process. If you look at the advertisement of the vacant post, 46% of the vacant funded posts have already been advertised. And the highest percentage of posts that have been advertised are in your middle management level, 9 to 12. And the lowest percentage of posts that have been advertised are your levels 1 to 5. I think the fact that levels 13 to 16, 14%, and considering that one of your highest levels are in this category, it is worrying that only 46% of these posts have been advertised. And all of this here must be looked within the context of the Public Service Coordinating Bargaining Council's resolution, which stated that all current funded vacancies should be advertised within 6 months of the agreement. So what you're saying, with the 54% posts that have not yet been advertised and have not even commenced the recruitment process, if they want to advertise this, they need to do this here before January 2008. So it's a very short period in which to try and make any serious inroads into filling these posts, but also to be meeting some of the agreements that have been reached through the collective bargaining process. Then if you look at the percentage of posts where the selection process has commenced, ordinarily this would mean your advertisement has been flighted, your department has really started the shortlisting process. Departments have commenced with the selection process in respect of 28% of the vacant funded posts. At salary levels 1 to 5, departments have reported the highest percentage of instances in which the selection process has commenced. So you're seeing some kind of a slightly faster pace around your levels 1 to 5. But once again, if you get to 13 to 16, your management, your administrative leadership level, you're not seeing the kind of speed that you would want to see in this respect, where the selection process has really only commenced in terms of 27% of the vacant post. And the lowest percentage of instances in which the selection process has commenced is at salary levels 9 to 12. To come to the end result, now this is where really the post has been advertised, shortlisting has taken place, interviews have taken place, the recommendation as to the most suitable candidate is now before the executing authority. And if you look at this, selection committees have made recommendations to the executing authority in terms of 6% of the vacant posts. This is 5,520 vacant posts. The highest percentage of posts where recommendations have been made is on salary levels 9 to 12, and then followed by levels 13 to 16. And of course, your fairly small percentage of recommendations are at levels 1 to 5. However, even if the EAs approve these recommendations tomorrow, for instance, it will still not, or will still only bring the overall vacancy rate down by about 0.4%. That's the implication. If we, of course, take the vacancy rate of the department, which is at 5.8%, if all these processes that are in the system, and if you get the finalization of the EAs, you would actually make a dent of 0.4% in terms of your vacancy rate, your overall vacancy rate. And of course, the percentage of these recommendations would affect serving public servants who have applied for higher position posts. So you would, as they would be moving up to these higher posts, you would have a situation that their posts would be coming vacant. So there's also no guarantee that you would actually be getting your vacancy rate down to the extent that has been suggested. So there's also that kind of movement that would be happening within or internal to a department or internal to the public service. What then is the average turnaround time taken for the filling of posts? Clearly, we need to accelerate the filling of posts, and one of the areas that would need to have particular scrutiny is around the time that is taken for the filling of these posts. Majority of departments, and this was what they had responded to, really said that they really take 2 to 3 months to actually fill posts. They say 59.8% of them say this is the case. We were able to see from our evaluation that the longest turnaround time reported was between the 6 to 18 months period. Some departments, however, even reported a turnaround time of 30 to 45 days to fill vacancies. Now, we knew as a Public Service Commission that this is not possible. Firstly, that your running time for the advert cannot be less than 2 weeks. If you take that 2 weeks into account, it is extremely unlikely that the average turnaround time for the filling of posts could be between 30 to 45 days. And if we look at research that was conducted by the DETSA, they really found that the average period of post vacant is just over 15 months. So the department was telling us something. I mean, the research from the DETSA clearly indicated something different. But I think the more important point to make here is that you have to change the way in which the turnaround time is taking around the filling of posts if you're going to make any sense in relation to the acceleration of filling these vacancies. And what are the factors impacting on the filling of these posts? And this is what departments were saying. Those are not percentages that on their number. 66 of the departments said, well, they're having problem with getting scarce skills. 38% said there's an unavailability of selection committees. So now see this number here. 38 are saying there's an unavailability of selection committees. 21 are saying the salaries are not market related and therefore they cannot attract the skills they want. 18 is saying, because the delegations are too high, it takes that much longer to navigate the systems within the department to get the necessary approval. 18 are saying that there's a lack of human resource capacity, and because of the lack of skills in this area, it becomes that much more difficult to get the support units to assist in the filling of these vacancies. Turnover rate and job hopping in 13 cases, departments were saying this is really the case, it's a serious concern. Well, only 11, although it's not a surprising finding, 11 are saying there's lack of funding. If you look at what I said earlier, there's a serious lack of funding in relation to the funding of the post. Restructuring, 10 departments say they're in the process of restructuring, and as a result, this process delays the advertising of posts. 9 says that no suitable candidates could be identified and therefore they're going to go back to the drawing board as they're not able to fill those posts at first go. And then 7 says counter offers by other departments actually impact on them filling these vacancies. So if you look at the challenges that have been identified with the filling of these vacant posts, departments were then requested to indicate whether there are specific strategies in place to fill vacant posts. What are they doing to accelerate the filling of these posts, to address the problem? 72% of the departments that responded to this question say they do have strategies in place to fill these posts. In Mpumalanga province, which reflected the highest vacancy rate of 9%, 70% of the departments said they actually have a strategy in place. But clearly these strategies then are not being very effective or not very successful if you look at Mpumalanga still got the highest rate of vacancies if you look at the information from departments. In the Northern Cape, where the vacancy rate is at 6.4%, only two of the 11 departments who responded to this question indicated that they have a strategy in place. And in KwaZulu-Natal, five of the 12 departments indicated that they did not have a strategy in place. So while you have got this quite huge challenge around the filling of vacancies, there doesn't seem to be focused attention to address how best to deal with the problem. What then are our recommendations given the quickness of our study? Clearly it says there's a need for urgent intervention to accelerate the filling of the post. I'm not sure that departments by themselves are able to do it. You would need to have some serious overall intervention to propel this human resource practice forward. All departments should design and implement specific strategies for the filling of vacant posts if it's still going to be left with departments. And this could involve prioritizing specific pockets of these posts. Because if you thought departments need to start saying, well, which are the posts that are affecting the delivery of our core business the most, and then maybe concentrate on filling those particular posts. I think it goes without saying that the accuracy of personnel information has to be improved. And an assessment should be done on how best to provide usable, accurate, and user-friendly information, and how to improve personnel as a reliable management information tool. Because if personnel is not cleaned in some way, you're going to continuously get this almost ambivalence around what is the true position in the public service. Around issues such as vacancy and, of course, other human resource practices as well. HOD should display strict adherence to the regulatory framework governing the recruitment and selection process. If you look at the huge number of posts that have not been job evaluated or the huge number of advertisements that have been taken out where these posts have not been job evaluated, it suggests that there is not necessarily strict adherence to what the framework and the policy is saying. There should be regular management reports on the filling of posts, the challenges experienced, and the ways to ensure the availability of sufficient and competent staff for efficient service delivery. Departments should put in place periodical reporting mechanisms for tracking actual expenditure on compensation against funded vacancies. Because clearly there's a huge discrepancy in terms of what they think are funded vacant posts and what really their budget is like. So, you know, something is not quite right in terms of how those two are talking to each other. We would want to suggest to departments to utilize the Public Service Commission's toolkit on recruitment and selection, which we will... quite an effective toolkit which we think would help departments, especially those departments who indicated that capacity is a problem. It's a step-by-step guideline in terms of which they can use the toolkit to assist in the acceleration of the filling of the vacant posts. We also propose that the DPASA's guide on managing the retention of employees is useful in developing retention strategies and curbing job hopping that many departments complained about. And we also said contributing to the whole issue around retention and job hopping should be a consideration that employees be considered for higher posts after complying with certain requirements. There's just too much mobility, and the kind of stability and sustainability is problematic. And maybe there should be certain consideration as to how does an employee get from one position to promotion in the next position. And I think not only would it also contribute to the kind of quality you would be getting and the kind of consolidation of experiences, but I think it would also contribute to the kind of retention in the public service. So really, we accept that it's been a very technical report. We've had to do it in a very short period of time. And we really conclude by saying that based on our findings, it is clear that there's a need for departments to respond with urgency to the filling of the vacancy posts. This needs to be prioritized to ensure that the necessary capacity is created and maintained with, of course, the most important end result, and that's service delivery imperatives on this. And at the least, the PSC hopes and trusts that this presentation will contribute to a solid engagement on the filling of vacancies within the public service. I thank you. National, if you go to page 4 of the report, those departments are listed.
Page 4
of the report would reflect.
I know you had a tight schedule, but have you been able to try and find out exactly what is the basis, what is the cause, what is the cause of this huge barrier?
Yes, Chair. I mean, we've come to some assumptions around why this is the case. And obviously, the first must be the issue around poor record keeping on personnel, which results in the kind of inaccuracies and the outdated data that you see. It's also a case of information as to whether posts are funded or unfunded and the regular updating in relation to this. And I think one of the recurring problems that we discovered in terms of trying to compare the data was the fact that abolished posts that should have been removed from the system on PERSEL were not necessarily removed from the system.
All right. I'll give Honorable Swart, Honorable Trent, Comrade Pierre, Comrade Machin.
Thank you, Chair. My first concern is that when you look at PERSEL and all the information supplied by the department, there's a huge discrepancy there, as you highlighted. But what worries me from a budgeting point of view is how do you start your budget when you don't know exactly how many vacancies you've got and from what premise do you start off with? You start on the wrong figure, just for starters. And isn't it necessary for us now to actually go into each department, whether it's done by the Auditor General or somebody else, to determine exactly how many vacancies we have, what the cost of those vacancies are, the cost of those positions, so that we can find that we start with a budget which are actual, which is actual and which we can work on, because the information that the JBC and SCOPA works with is obviously totally wrong. And I think it needs serious consideration, because we cannot deliver services if this is the way we start off. Thank you, Chair.
So I've largely covered with my first question. I'd like to add something to Mr. Swart's question. Also, whether the job, or should I say those vacancies, need to be filled. In other words, whether the job evaluation has been done and whether those jobs are necessary, whether they serve any purpose. But my second question concerns the non-responding to the survey. You say on page 4, you give us the national and provincial departments that didn't respond to this, I assume, the whole survey. But then in your presentation you said the following, 72% of departments that responded to this question, and that is the question about whether or not they have strategies to address the problem. How many didn't respond to that particular question, or have I got this thing wrong? Because that is what you're saying, that particular question. You understand what I'm trying to get? Thank you.
All right,
please
convert
here.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. Chair, obviously there will be departments that will say the figures are not correct or they might differ with the information here, but if we have to take it as granted here, you are saying here that the budget for the total number of the budgeted unfilled posts or filled posts would be 174.2 billion and what is actually spent is 68.8 billion. That means that the 105 billion rand is not spent, which was supposed to be on salaries if these posts were filled, which is an astronomical amount of money, and it does have a serious impact on the economy. And it could well, I would think as economic sabotage, really, what the departments are doing by not filling these posts. But that's a crisis, Chair. The other problem that I have or question is, and I don't see it addressed in your presentation today, and I'm sure it's probably difficult to do it at such short notice, but I think it would assist us. Because we have the system where vacancies are advertised internally, and then after a while it gets advertised outside. And I think if one can unpack that figure as well, it might also give us greater clarity and also might assist And then the last thing I would like to get clarity on, if we look at your report right at the back, the one in the thick one, at Annexure B, the breakdown of the total number of funded vacant posts reported by national and provincial departments and the total number of funded vacant posts, it looks as if you go to all the provinces, there might be departments that, for instance, got a number of posts, like, for instance, 9 on first always vacant, but then the department will reflect, for instance, say 5. But the biggest culprit here, in every province except one, the discrepancy between the posts that are vacant on first always and the number of posts that are actually reflected by the department. It looks every time, except in one province, that the departments in the provinces of education and health every time has got a serious discrepancy. And I was just wondering, you know, what the reason for that is, if one can maybe get clarity on that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Three questions. One is on the compensation of employees. Where says that there's over expenditure? My question is on the over expenditure. How possible is that? Does it mean that those posts have not been budgeted for? Or the personnel that is in the department is in a particular way overpaid beyond what the national norm is? Secondly, the question is on the counter offer. Is there no strategy in place to try and cap counter offers from the department so that there's no poaching? The last one is on KZN in terms of the strategies to deal with the high vacancy rate in departments. If they don't have a strategy in place, what do they use to fill the vacant post? Thank you, Chair.
the lost and work our way up while we consider some of them. In terms of the over expenditure and overpayments and very often we find that you know, there's a regulatory requirement that you can't use from your first from your non-consumable budget and then transfer into your personnel budget. But the other way around often applies. The departments like to make savings on their personnel budget to almost counter the effect on over expenditure on the non-personnel budget. And so often departments at this time of the year play around with those kind of budgetary issues. And really it comes generally to the whole question of poor planning within departments. One of the requirements of a department, firstly, is in terms of the structures of the department needs to be based on the kind of services that they need to provide. They need to have a service delivery plan, an improvement plan in place. They need to have an HR strategy and an HR plan to deal with those service delivery improvement plans, and then of course budget accordingly in terms of those service requirements. And that to me, and that's kind of anecdotal findings that we have with regard to departments in terms of the planning processes and the way that it happens. Very often you have an HR plan in the absence of a service delivery improvement plan. Those disjunctures often reflect itself within the budgetary requirements and how departments determine their budgets. We agree that the counter offers, there cannot be overpayment largely because I think a lot of it is regulated. But there could very well be overpayments, irregular payments in regard to some aspects of personnel requirements such as bonuses and overtime and so on and so forth. Where in fact departments might have used the money, but it will be difficult to explain the kind of overexpenditure that we are talking about in terms of the numbers. Counter offer certainly has an impact, and very often I think could be abused because especially in the department with huge vacancy rates, you're needed, you apply for a post elsewhere knowing that your department needs you and probably is going to give you a counter offer. So the high vacancy rate could have an impact on, in fact, the whole question of counter offers is because you would want to therefore hold onto a scarce resource that you have, even if it's just a warm body, it might not necessarily be a scarce skill. So those are some of the issues around over expenditure. The worrying aspect here around percentages, because we could be lured into a false sense of security around percentages. But if those percentages reflect the kind of numbers of 88,000, and those are within the Department of Health and Education, the serious, service delivery implications, just purely in terms of numbers. So even if we say, because what is an acceptable vacancy rate percentage-wise? You know, I don't believe that we can expect departments to be 100% filled. So there's no real straight answer to that question, but when you look at the numbers, and you're quite correct, and those numbers are within key departments, such as the level of educators and healthcare professionals, then it does become worrying. And it could very well be related to the whole question of skills around this particular area. Teachers, lack of teachers, lack of doctors, nurses, and other support staff within those critical and key departments. The question around the budget that the honourable member spoke about, no, there's no crisis. The 1.7, the 174 billion is a full year budget for salaries. And remember, we're only partly through the year. So there's no real crisis in terms of the 105 billion rand that we're talking about. We're talking about a full year budget, and we've only gone through, the 31st of August. In terms of the research, so we're not really too concerned about that aspect, other than the concern that we raised in the report. So, Destiny, take on.
Just on the budget issue, can we talk about the 1.8% that's remaining? That's the amount they would be able to fill for the month. But the standard amount of 41%, which is the norm, that was already will be spent every single month. So when you look at the 110 billion that you talk about, you've got to take into account that it's already accounted for. Because, salaries, the same people that were paid in August will still be employed, and their salaries would need to be paid as well. The deficit is the 1.87%. And we're saying for any month then, you've only got really 1.87% of the outstanding amount to pay for funded vacant posts. And if you look at the large number of funded vacant posts you have, obviously then that doesn't even start touching the tip of the barrel. I don't know if that explains the question you.
A slight addendum here as well. Within the Department of Education and Health, there are large departments at Jefferson with huge personnel numbers. And over and above that, they also have highly centralized departments, you know, with institutions spread over large geographical areas. So the discrepancies in terms of personnel and what's actually happening within departments could be explained on that basis as well. I think because that was part of the other question. Why is are there huge discrepancies in those two departments? I think it's because of the size, decentralized nature, and of course the big numbers that we are talking about.
Okay, thank you. Now, just follow up on that. So is it at all, the one question that wasn't answered is the issue of posts that are internally advertised. But coming back to the budgeted amount for funded posts, could you put a figure to the first half figure of the vacancy of 330,000 vacancies, and also put a figure to that, roughly, and also the actual one from the department, the 88,000 vacancies, if one can get maybe a figure to that, so that we at least know what we're talking about, money-wise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes, comment, okay?
Yeah, thank you, sir. I think some of my questions have been much touched, but I didn't hear an explanation on compensation of employees. Because if we have spent 68.8 billion up to date, and we still have a balance of 105.4 billion, and we are left with few months, are we going to have a rollover? Then if we are going to have a rollover, my question is, why are we not addressing the issue of unemployment, which is being called by the labor? We are being under attack by the labor movement and everybody, and saying that there is a big number of unemployment in this country. What is really going on? Then the president gave a state nation's address earlier, beginning of the year, and saying by the year that and that, by the month that that, we shall have done A, B, C. We shall have done this and this in order to try to get the poverty and to meet the millennium. Now, your department is not addressing itself to that line. What is your question? I mean, your answer that. That is on that question. Fine. On secondly, the last question again, I mean, on the same answer. The question was not answered because we don't understand what causes expenditure. The gentleman said, yes, this expenditure, we are not quite sure what causes that because we can't say it's bonus. We can't say it's overtime. Because bonus and overtime is budgeted for when you do your narration. So I think I quite agree with you. You have been fair. You don't know what is really going on, and then accept corruption or something underlying, which is true, because clearly we don't know what has happened, and we can't know where the money has gone to. So that is a question that you need to be answered. And then, progress regarding the recruitment process, job evaluation. I understand it might have taken you close to 10 months not evaluating, because even to now you are still complaining about, sorry, we have not evaluated. Some of the jobs are not evaluated, and then the evaluation is a mandatory requirement of salary levels between 9 and 12, but we have not yet evaluated things from beginning of the year up to now. It's now 10 months. reflecting on the feeling of truth. If so, according to this survey, would you tell me that to employ a general worker, we need to look for skills? Easy, if I want to make an example, a sweeper. Because some of the lowest grades in here, they are not filled. Now, the answer to some of these things was that, unfortunately, lack of skills. Now, my question would be, why the lowest, I mean, where we don't need the skills? Why do we still have those vacancies? Do we need skills? If so, maybe we shall get there. Sorry. To say that, I mean, on recommendation.
Sound complete.
Okay, on recommendation, well, there are a lot of pages one has to address every page. Sorry for that. You said there is a need, I mean, an urgent need to fill the post. My question is short. When did you realize this urgent need? And how long did it take you? Did it take you 10 months to realize that there is a need to fill the second post? And then you realized when we are now on October and left the 3 months, because there is that need, and you are going to be lucky in your conclusion. There is a clear need for the department to respond. You have not responded. That is what I wanted to say, because if you have responded, I want the time limit. I want the date. I want the month. I want the year. Because if you have responded, you would say, by March this time, we shall have employed 10. We shall have employed 100. But now your response to that, you say there is an urgent need to respond. So you have not responded, because even next year you still say there is an urgent need. If you commit yourself, then we will be able to ask you next year. You say, by February, you see it. All these vacancies will have been filled. Thank you very much.
Your last two questions, comments, okay. Let's ask them. Ask Professor Levine when it's passed for the Department of Public Service and Administration. I think it might be relevant then. Just to say, yeah, I'm saying those last two questions because they are like departmental specific, and yes, we ask you to go and do a research for us on other departments, not. Yes, Comrade Kumed and then Comrade Mashian, and then let's get a response.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, firstly, thanks for purposes of clarification. I would like to ask whether the counting of the turnaround time includes the notice period. And I don't know whether you have a notice period for employees who want to resign or who are dismissed and then perhaps they're given a month or so. Does the counting include, for the purposes of turnaround, include that notice period, firstly? And then secondly, for purposes of audit, and which I assume are the figures that we get here, how do we come to by vacancy rates? Is it different to the methodology you use? Because obviously the audit office has a mechanism to check or either ask questions, or there is a process in which, through which they determine vacancy rates. Now, if there is this discrepancy between personal and the rates that we are having, what rates are used for audit purposes? And then if now you find the department finds those rates differing from the reality on the ground. How are the disputes resolved, and then how is the fees are finally reached? And lastly, the turnaround period of 1 year, 3 months that has been established by your the research conducted by the DBSA, does it have any justification? Perhaps did you get any justification from the DBSA for this period? Thank you.
So my last question on KZN. Whether they have a strategy in place, when they don't have a strategy in place. I asked what they are using in order to fill the vacant post if they don't have a strategy in place.
Okay. I hope it has nothing to do with the question you're asking. Yes, Honorable Chair?
We didn't get an answer to my first question, and that was how many didn't respond to that particular question, because you see, if 72% responded of all respondents, then that's quite good. But if only half responded, and you know, then it doesn't look so good. You expect from having a strategy in place, because if we don't have a strategy, we're not going to get anywhere. And I think that relates to many questions that have been asked there. And this is what we, at SCOPA, we ask the department all the time: what are you doing about it? What are your strategies? That's the first. The other issue that puzzles me is, and you made a comment during the presentation that the information on search was sometimes questionable. I think you used those words. Now, what I don't understand is, the way I understand the way government administers its payroll, all the provinces, all the departments use search. It's an integrated system, and that's how you can get all of this information consolidated. Now, if they all use TIRSL, and TIRSL says that there are 30987 vacancies, then how can they come up with other information which says it's 88,000? Because if they're all using the same system, how can they have different figures? That means they're getting figures from other sources. And then I come back to the point that my colleague, Mr. Swart, made. When you get your budgeting, you've got to have reliable figures, you know, and if you can't rely on it, then what do you do? Because there's a huge discrepancy here in terms of the vacancies. And surely we must decide which is the one we accept as factual. So if you can just help us a little bit with that. Thanks.
The information on personnel is problematic for the Public Service Commission as well. And it's not only in relation to this particular matter, in terms of all other research that we do, where departments dispute what we get off the cell, what's meant to be on the cell, and challenging that information, generally speaking. And the problem is that the irregular updating of the database by departments. So, you know, it's garbage in, but then we get garbage out when we try to get it.
Who is supposed to maintain the PESOL system?
Treasury is here at the moment, but the general understanding is that every department is to maintain the information on the PESOL system. That's the responsibility of a department.
So a department maintains the PESOL system, and then turns around and says that the system has incorrect information and gives you different information.
That's the kind of problem that we have, and then I would say that we have taken around the cell, but I think our technical people will be able to assist around that as well, but I think we must have a similar situation around the cell.
Yeah, my apologies about the sound system. I'm not sure what's happening. But maybe before proceeding with the other questions, can you check with National Treasure? Because, you see, from where I'm seated, I just don't understand. If you go to the Department of Health, they maintain the PESAL system. And when you want information from them, they leave that system and give you some information that I don't know where they keep. Information that they're supposed to be keeping in the PESAL system. They still have the PESAL system, but then they still have another set of information on the same issue. It really, really, really does not make sense to me. Let's hear from Treasure what they say about this.
Yes, Chairperson, you are correct to say that PESAL has been updated legally by departments and also has been linked to payroll. So it's also difficult for us to accept that PESAL is a problem because it's never been discussed and raised with us because otherwise we would be looking at the system. But it might be reasons like it would indicate Mr. Murat in terms of the updating from the side of departments to say. But not on PESAL, the same as system, because system might have, because of a human error, it might be the reason why the PESAL to extract the right information.
But you see, my problem is that we seem to be accepting very crazy excuses. I must still get the logic and the sense of the situation. This thing is called personnel and salary administration system, run by the department. It's all information that is not used. Then the PSC comes and they give us information. They leave that system that they are maintaining. Go somewhere in a drawer, draw out some information and say, this is the information. This one that you have got from office number 15 is wrong. This is the correct information. I don't know, maybe we're with the department here, maybe they can explain the logic of this situation. We'll give the Auditor General an opportunity. Alright.
Thanks, Chairperson. Perhaps we can ask Mr. Serfontaine, he's an expert on the PESAL system, to explain some of the technicalities that you're raising, if that's agreeable. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Members. I think what we have to keep in mind is PESAL was a system developed in the late 80s, so implemented early 90s. So it's still based on very old technologies in there. And PESAL was originally conceptualized as a personnel system to manage personnel. But then I think within the implementation of the system, the focus was mostly on a payroll system. So I think from looking from our point of view, if we look at people being paid by PESAL, I think we've got a fairly high reliance on the numbers of people. So if we say there's 1.1 million public servants being paid, I think we have a fair amount of reliance on that because there's certifications on a monthly basis around those payments. The problem is with the HR part of the system. And that's where the post and the whole structure lies. So it's a fairly sort of administratively sort of heavy system. So the fund departments are battling to keep up with the continuous change in structures. And also what typically would happen is if you're implementing a new structure on the system, you basically have your old structure lying there, you capture the whole new structure. So if that happens at the time that we read the information for their department, we actually pick up two structures. But from where we're sitting, when we extract information, we can't determine whether it's two structures or one. So that's one of the factors that also comes in. The other problem we have is the funded versus unfunded position. So PESAL cannot distinguish for us to say which positions are funded, which are not funded. And then the structures that originally approved are sort of not funded structures but the ideal structures, and then the budget sort of cycle kicks in. And then obviously we have to admit there's lots of garbage also in the system. So people move people across into the new structure and they don't delete the old structure. So that's sort of part of the problem.
Okay.
What is the official person of the system government?
Let me respond to that, Chief. We're currently working together with National Treasury, CETA and DPSA in trying to put in place what we call the Integrated Financial Management System. As part of that financial management system, we will have a separate module dealing with the HR, and the entire suite of HR functions will be performed there. There's currently a process in place also to create a separate payroll system. So the intention at some stage is to move away from SASL and to have a separate HR module, separate payroll function, as well as financial module.
Right. So
just to give some progress.
I wanted to talk about progress and not intention, because we have a system that frustrates you, but you stay with it year in and year out. I mean, really, what progress has been made in terms of getting this integrated system in place?
Chair, in terms of the HR system, we've already tendered. We're currently doing the evaluation. We should be making an appointment early in the new year. So the actual implementation will come in for the second half of 2008. We've already gone through a procurement process to appoint people to start writing a payroll system for the public service. So in that sense, the procurement system has already been purchased as well as part of the IFMA.
So we still have some way to go, because your system might actually have its own glitches, like some other systems introduced in other departments. All right. Is it still on TESA? Because there are other questions that we asked that I said they should be passed so that we spot this. Yeah, no, I'm asking what.
Is it on TESA? Yes, thank you. Okay. The problem with personal is that even the information supplied by the department is being correct. And when we... I'm just wondering,
just to remind the PSC and the department, it's not a position to run Parliament. So it's not our fault that this thing is making all these crazy noises. There's little we can do about it. We were making a submission just yesterday around this problem, around getting into venues that are very tricky, you know, equipment. And here this thing is performing.
Yeah. Where you got?
Okay.
What interested me is if you could have an indication maybe as to how often whether a person is actually audited and how often it's audited. So that we can know, you know, that somebody's checking on what's going on there, because it's clearly wrong. And something needs to be done about it so that we can start with the correct information, because we hear now about a new system that's going to be introduced. But if we introduce the new system with wrong information, you know, on personal, you know, it doesn't help us at all, because then we start off with the wrong budget again.
Sure, that's my question would have been to the Auditor General. You know, in the past, they used to raise these matters.
Wait. We'll afford the Auditor General an opportunity. I thought you are following up on the responses that they've given. I said we'll give the Auditor General an opportunity.
So my question was a follow-up to the question that you asked.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure if we'll be able to continue if these things are going to behave like this. Okay, just try your mic. This one.
How long did it take them to realize that there's a problem with the press office?
Yeah, I was
you are going to implement a new system, still a process level. How long has it, but also I think the question asked about Malabosa and maybe the other questions that we asked before, this still is everything.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Look, I think the issue of the problems with the data on Parasol has been long identified. And the IFMS has been in the pipeline for a long time as well. But I think one of the things that we maybe need to add that hasn't been discussed much is the focus that we have given on organizational structures, because often that lies at the heart of the problem, is the fact that the organizational structure which is captured on Parasol is not a true representation of the actual organizational structure which is operating within a department. And ultimately, it's the approved establishment which would need to be used for audit purposes rather than what exists on Parasol. But we did identify this problem in work which we have done on the capacity and organization of the state through the governance and administration cluster. And Cabinet did take a decision in 2006 that changes to organizational structures from the chief director level above would need to be consulted with the Minister for the Public Service and Administration. Now, one advantage of that process is that we do now require departments to lodge accurate information on their organizational structures with the DPSA. So we are currently developing a database on organizational structures which will be more accurate than the information which we currently have on Parasol. Because the quality of the organizational structures, their management and maintenance, goes to the heart of the problem that we're talking about here. I think one of the, if I might just add very briefly, Chair, I think one of the big challenges with our public management system, both in terms of human resource management, but also in terms of financial management, is that as we decentralized public management, we did not necessarily have the capability on the ground to manage it as efficiently as we would like it to be managed. It's true that the decentralization empowers managers to manage, and therefore we don't want to interfere with that, but there is a recognition that the capacity often does not exist for very thorough management of these functions. So one of the problems that we're dealing with here is really an administrative matter. We're talking about personnel administration and the quality of personnel administration, which is highly problematic. It comes out in the PSC report. It also comes out in a number of reports that we've made. And we would take an opportunity, should there be one in the future. We have created a system. It's true it's based on Parasol, but it integrates what is the general report, as well as the INEO monitoring system of National Treasury, which will allow you to look at administration across the board. And we do generate reports on a quarterly basis. So you will see trends in terms of problematic financial management and HR management. And often the problems of financial management and administration, HR management and administration occur in the same departments across the board. It obviously does come out from the Auditor General's report, but we have created quite a user-friendly system which we could, if we ever get the opportunity, give you an indication of departments where you see these problematic trends. If there's an opportunity in the meeting, I could also maybe comment on the report more generally as well, because we do welcome this report as well, and we would be in a position to make comments on it if it's required. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, it might as well be that we are essentially not dealing with a system problem, that it is an HR problem. That's
we don't have people who are able to adequately manage and continuously update the system. So it's not that the system is goes haywire, but that the departments do not put sufficient personnel or sufficient time to update the system. So you maintain the system, but if there are no people to manage it, so might actually be tendering and putting billions of rands into a new system, and we're not actually addressing the problem necessarily. It might be that new technology is necessary, but we may not necessarily, by virtue of having that new system, addressing the discrepancies that are there. All right. There were other questions. Can you quickly
give them we'll share some of the responsibilities. I apologize for the case that any questions. In the absence of a strategy, there must be some ad hoc approach, and we can't explain for that, and it would be difficult to speculate, but in the absence of a strategy, we can only assume that they use an ad hoc approach in terms of the filling of vacancies in KwaZulu-Natal, and that clearly is problematic. The budgetary issues that were raised, yeah, I did some quick calculations. If 174 billion rand, we're talking about a monthly salary budget of 14.5 billion rand. And for the period of the research, it would be 5 month period of research to the end of October, 68 billion rand has been spent, which is just over 11 billion rand. So at this particular point in time, there's a potential saving of about 3.5 billion rand if those votes are not sold. So that's really the kind of figure that we need to play around with in our heads in terms of where we are with the expenditure in terms of the salary budget. And what the potential effect would be in terms of filling 333 posts, or 88,000 by the end of the financial year. And there are clear indicators. Should all the posts be filled, and should all the posts not be filled, there would be some savings. In terms of the general workers and the factors impacting at that level, clearly it could very well be a problem in terms of the process required to fill posts of unskilled workers. Maybe the delegations are indeed too high. Maybe, in fact, there's far too much bureaucracy required to fill posts at unskilled levels. And I think maybe the DPSA would be able to assist in that regard. In fact, with regard to the requirements, the authority to fill posts when they do become vacant, could that be a problem, particularly at the level of unskilled workers? The turnaround time does not include the notice period. We only look at the when the post becomes vacant, and then the post then gets advertised if it's already been job evaluated. But it would be a good strategy that to begin to start the process when notice has been given. So if notice has been given 3 months ahead of time, that a post is going to become vacant, that would be a high jump, would be recommended that the process to begin to fill the post, if it's an essential post, to start the process at that stage already to, in fact, shorten the turnaround time with regard to the filling of posts. The DPA research in terms of the 1 year and 3 months, I think this was a question, it cannot be justified. You know, what we are saying is that, I'm sure DPA is not saying is it justifiable. But what we are indeed saying is the period is far too long. It must have impact on service delivery, and really the recommendation is that the turnaround time should indeed be much shorter. But that would be awesome of those questions.
Thank you. The question that was put to them, do they have other strategies in place? I think we did not ask the question as to whether they have a recruitment and selection strategy in place, because we work from the premise that the recruitment and selection strategies are in place, and whether they have put in any unique strategies over and above the recruitment and selection strategy to try and address the problem around vacancies.
So I think their response was really that they hadn't put something in over and above the recruitment strategy. But we're not in a position to say whether the recruitment and selection strategies are in place in terms of all the departments within the province.
But shouldn't that have been the starting point? Because to work on the basis of assumption might equally not be helpful. And it might as well be that KZN was the only province that gave you an honest answer. Unless if when they said yes, they said what is the strategy?
I think with hindsight, we could have tweaked lots of parts of our methodology once we found out some of the responses that were coming through. But time just did not permit. I think we would have liked to have gone back. There's a number of issues we would have liked to have gone back on in relation to this, to aspects around this particular methodology. But I think I just wanted to clarify that it wasn't just a case of negligence or otherwise on the KZN department, but we're not in a position to definitively say whether the case of not having recruitment strategies in place is the case or not, but rather the issue around the unique strategies to address the gaps in the vacancies. I think the other question I would ask my colleague to respond to is the turnaround period of 15 months and the vacancies around that. We really picked that up out of the trends report of the DPSA, the trends from 2002 to 2007. And I think that the point that was being made there was really the length of time posts were vacant rather than the issue around the overall turnaround table. But I think DPSA would be best placed to actually respond to that. And I think there was an issue around the Is it a different methodology that was used? What would make for better accuracy of these figures? The honest answer to that, I don't know. In a sense, the formal benchmark, if you have, was the per cell figure. So we went to per cell to try and understand what was happening there. We then went to departments to try and verify, if you will, those types of figures. Departments were telling us something totally different. And maybe what is needed is a much more deeper analysis of what is the true rate. Because as we sit with certainty, the Public Service Commission cannot tell you what the vacancy rate is. It's saying that if you look at the compensation of employees, that vacancy rate may be well below the 5.6% figure that departments are saying. But then when you look at what Purcell is saying at about 23%, you're saying, you know, we seriously need some accurate information in order to make important decisions because understanding what our vacancy rate will also give us an understanding as to what our profile of our staff complement within the public service is. And there needs to be some a serious intervention that we get to some closer understanding around what these vacancy rates are. We have reasons for the inaccuracy. We can explain why there are these discrepancies. But somewhere we've got to move to a position where we as a public service are able to say this is really the vacancy rate within the public service. I also think the issue around skills, I think the question that came out is, apart from it being difficult to say what is the vacancy rate, if you look at what are the figures that are being displayed, are these jobs really needed to be filled? It's another question we're not in a position to answer in response to that. But I think given the kind of assessment, the capacity assessment that DPSA has carried out, maybe they would have some opinion in relation to the sense that, you know, do all the jobs that are vacant, is there a requirement that all these jobs actually be filled? I think they could assist me in relation to trying to respond to that particular issue. I think in terms of the issue around how departments respond and the kind of responses that departments give, I think one of the difficulties that the Public Service Commission inevitably have as a research-based institution, we apply these questionnaires, we apply these templates and surveys, and at the most we ask departments to give us a contact person who we can then engage with in order to ensure that we're getting proper information. And inevitably, I think our experience has been that departments really give contact persons at very low levels that don't have a full appreciation for to conceptualize what are the issues and strategically respond to some of what we say. So continuously, we get that kind of a situation in terms of what has been fed into or the way in which our research instrument is being responded to. I think also on the issue of counter-offers and the strategies in place for counter-offers, I would also defer to my colleague at the DPSA to perhaps assist in terms of responding to that particular question. I hope we actually have covered all the questions that have...
But the question with regard to internal advertisements, Chairperson, I didn't quite understand the question, and apologize for that. But knowing that at certain levels, adverts must be advertised, certainly at the SMS level, must be at the least be advertised externally. But there is an allowance for internal adverts below the level of the senior management services.
Yes, thank you. That was the one that I was waiting for. And I was just wondering if that wasn't causing a problem, because what we've discovered with many hearings of the department is that actually certain posts get parked somewhere and you have officials that are being earmarked for those posts and actually could have been filled much earlier. And then also the maybe on the same issue is, for instance, I know the Department of Education does have, for instance, a bulletin where vacancies are advertised, comes out at a certain time, but shouldn't it be that all vacancies maybe get advertised monthly or bi-monthly or every 3 months, for instance, like the State Tender Bulletin, so that everybody is aware of these vacancies, and that facility that is there for departments only to advertise internally in a crisis like this actually gets taken away to spread the basket much wider. Thanks.
All right. I think maybe let's allow the Auditor General, Mr. Wheeler, the Auditor General's office, the person of Mr. Wheeler, to maybe deal with this question of, because whenever you give us a briefing note, it is always accompanied by a table that indicates post fields and vacancies. And I saw yesterday that for the DPSA, it was 21%. It was 22% in the previous financial year. Now, can you unpack this from your perspective in relation to what the PSC was able to find?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. As far as the auditing of the numbers which are provided for in the various annual reports of the departments, those numbers are based on the actual approved posts. Now, we need to put this somewhat into perspective. At the time that the budgeting cycle was being done within a department, a certain number of posts are identified. At that point in time, the need for those posts should have been evaluated. And also, those posts linked to the objectives in terms of the department's programs, so that the resources are used effectively. One then assumes that one's going to operate at a full employment capacity for a year, which would be the ideal situation. However, during the course of the year, various things happen, changes are made, and authorities are then obtained, dependent on the level of delegation, to adjust the number of posts during the course of the specific year. So the numbers that are recorded in the annual reports of the department are the approved posts as at 31st of March of the close of that financial year. Now, there's a number of issues which impact this, and I think Mr. Mr. Serpentine gave a very honest view of what happens with Purcell. Purcell in itself is problematic. We've been aware of that as auditors for many years, and we do take that into consideration. You normally find that your actual post-establishment is often held outside the system on some form of spreadsheet basis, whether it be Excel or some other format. The issue regarding the organizational structure of the organization, it is correct. It's not only reflected as such on per cell itself. The issue regarding post-divisional to establishments become a problem. The issue of the funded and unfunded posts. We even have situations where certain consultants which need to be appointed for periods have to be taxed. To tax them, they need to come through the per cell system as well, as opposed to the goods and services system. That's in terms of the tax law, relevant to the utilizing certain consultants. So this does make it difficult. I also concur with the finding which came from the Department of Public Service Administration, that often the control in terms of effecting the changes on the personnel level is done at too low a delegation level. In other words, the supervision over the changes to the personnel systems are left to too junior people and staff. Now, part of that can be attributed to the fact that management needs to take a greater interest and a greater concern. But when you have the personnel system being perceived as basically predominantly a salary payment system, the aspect of it which deals with the HR and establishment tends to pale somewhat into significance for senior management. But they're focusing on that Excel spreadsheet that they've got. They know what the ideal number of posts are, what are approved, not necessarily what's on per cell. The other issue, and I think it was an important point made by the DG or the Commission, which is the fact that per cell does need a cleaner. There's no doubt about it. If one looks at some of the records on personnel in some departments, it dates back significantly, and posts which are no longer relevant or which have technically been abolished have often never been taken off the system. But per cell as such does not give you an accurate record of the situation within a specific department. Again, I think it's imperative that if one's going to utilize a database for the extraction of performance information, then that database needs to be relevant, accurate, it needs to be reliable in terms of the information it's providing. Now, one needs to understand that with most information systems, one also has a timing problem. So when a person actually leaves and needs to be taken off the system, the person would have left by this month and then probably be taken off before the end of the next month to prevent the salary being paid again. But there are timing issues within an information system as well, which also add to the problems that go along with it. I'm fairly comfortable though, with a fairly high degree of accuracy, that the figures which are being provided in the annual report of the department at 31st of March are pretty accurate. And I think those figures can be used with a high degree of accuracy. Those figures would have been and have been subjected to the auditing of the performance information supplied by the department. I think it's when you start coming within year and trying to seek out a specific date in year that it starts becoming difficult again. With a lot of departments try and focus on having the information at year end being fairly correct and accurate, and you'll find there's a concentration of focus on ensuring that the year end data is correct, rather than what is happening after the year as well. I hope and trust that adds something to the discussion we've had this morning. But I do believe we've got to be cautious again in terms of expectations as far as the integrated financial management system is concerned as well. And again, we must be cautious that we're not trying to promise something that's going to be in one for everything. And that information system needs to be very closely linked to the anticipated future requirements in terms of performance information and measures within the department. To ensure the database, because the database is going to be critical of that the fields and the structure of that database are going to be adequate to do extraction for the identification of performance information going forward in the future. And I assume the Treasury has taken into consideration.
very much. I suppose it does throw some light into the challenges. I'm not sure if there's anything I would like us to bring this interaction to a close, unless if there's something really burning.
Okay, I would just like clarity on one issue regarding the circle. You see, we are told that the circle system is used to pay talent. Is that correct? Okay, if that is not correct, when and each department has their own system to pay salaries, well then fine, then I can understand. But if CERCLE is a system used to pay salaries, then how can you pay salaries to people with a system that is admittedly incorrect? You might be paying salaries to people that are not even working anymore. So, you know, that's what I just need to get that clarity. Does each department have its own system of payment? And Mr. Wheeler saying that those systems are in order, or that you're reasonably happy that the information there is accurate.
Just hang on a minute. Mr. Spock?
No, Chair, through you to Treasury, I was just wondering whether it wouldn't be a good idea to put in the recommendation that we, in one particular year, as far as the establishment is concerned, of the various departments, that we go for zero budgeting basis for 1 year particularly, so that we start off with nothing and that everything is going to be put into, you know, from scratch. So that we have an accurate base, especially if we're going to have a new system.
And lastly, yes, Mr. Wheeler?
It is correct that the cell is your predominant system for paying salaries. That is where your information is stored from. But remember, the system is split into the two divisions. One is the salary-driven aspect of it, and the other is the establishment control aspect of the system.
Alright, thank you very much. Our thanks to the Public Service Commission. I know that last year also requested to do this for us, and there were time constraints. And this time around, that appears to have been a challenge. Hopefully, we may need to increase the time frame for the day. You have sufficient time to do the work to your own satisfaction as well, that you have enough time to probe into the work. What we wanted was to have a sense of what are the vacancy rates that we have in government. I'm not sure if we're anyone at the end of the presentation. I think for me, what it is highlighted is that there are very serious challenges in terms of how our departments are run. To be able to provide some of what we consider basic information, and to the extent that you have departments not responding, even in the last situation, you had some departments, although there were four departments, but there was one or two people. Found it very difficult to actually supply information that they are supposed to be having. I think if anything, it does indicate that it was very serious for state national. Certainly, not at the political level, but definitely on a strategic level. There is need for much, much improvement in terms of our level of economy. And it points to the challenges of leadership. Yes, there are challenges of capacity in terms of numbers. We wanted to know what are the numbers. We don't know. And the challenges in terms of skills. If we don't know how many numbers we are missing, we don't know what quantity of which type of skills are we missing at the same time. But everything revolves back to the person of the human factor. But we may have
internally and definitely we do have the intelligence of leadership. Just conceptualizing the strategic issues that need to be sorted out and how these are handled and all that kind of stuff. I'm not sure what we'll make of this, but to me, that is what they have brought up. Service. I don't know how that is meant to happen. Trying to strengthen this public service that has a responsibility to give us the responsibility. So that their lives are changed and improved or better. Which was the formula that they look forward to for 2024, was not fulfillment, actually a defeat. So I think we have to do this process in more than a proper political context. Now we thank you very much. Let us break for 5 minutes. I suppose there should be tea and coffee, water and juice outside. 5 minutes, come back, and then we'll hear more from the community. Thank you very much.
No, I'm not. Gracias.